everyone, welcome back to Little Birdie's Childcare Podcast with me, Nilly. And today I want to go ahead and talk about six effective learning strategies that teachers use to help children who have learning and attention issues. And the reason I want to do this is because, you know, a lot of children are diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, I mean, all types of learning disabilities that kind of get in their way or is kind of like a roadblock for them in the learning process. And so, you know, I came across this article on understood.org. So if you guys want to follow me, you can, but understood.org had this amazing article that outlines six of the most effective strategies that teachers use to engage children who, in fact, do have these learning blocks. And, you know, these methods are actually backed up by research to prove that they are effective. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get started on the six different learning strategies. The first one is wait time. So what this simply means is the teacher is going to ask a question and they are going to allow the students anywhere from 3 to 7 seconds to answer the question or to process it, think about it, and then answer the question. And the reason that this happens is because, and I think this is effective, and the reason I say that is because, you know, children in general, if you ask them something and there's a room full of children, you know how they can be. They'll just shoot their hand up right away without even really thinking about the question or really understanding and processing the question. And it's kind of like a competition for them, you know, like who can get their hand up first and who can answer it first. And it's not about that. It's about understanding what the question is, processing that information, and then being able to, you know, give an answer. And it's very, very effective for children who just may process a little slower, you know, because it gives them time to think. And even children with ADHD, this is a really, really good strategy because, you know, they can benefit for the same reason, but they also have more time to think instead of just calling out whatever's the first come to their mind. I mean, it happens. They're children, you know. Number two is multisensory instruction. And this is probably my favorite on the list because whenever I was in the classroom, I always did hands-on learning. So I would provide as much, you know, instruction, curriculum, materials that they can just start using their senses, because when children use their senses, they learn more and they learn more effectively. So let's say your child has dyslexia. So many programs for struggling readers use multisensory strategies. So teachers might have students use their fingers to tap out each sound in a word, or, you know, students might draw a word in the air using their arm. You know, it's stuff like that. Things that, you know, don't require them to make things complicated, more complicated for themselves, but still to be able to understand the information. Let's say, you know, your child isn't that great in math. So teachers often use hands-on tools like blocks and drawings, and this will help the kids to see the math concepts. So like 2 plus 2, you know, here's 2 Skittles, here's another 2 Skittles, and they make the little lines to like separate the Skittles, and then you got to say, okay, so how many Skittles do you see? So they refer to these tools as manipulatives. They're using different manipulatives. Let's say your child is struggling with handwriting. Then, you know, teachers could use bumpy paper, or they could even have sand and have them like just trace letters and words in the sand. And if your child is ADHD, then multisensory instruction can help them with different ADHD symptoms. And that's especially true if the technique involves movement. Being able to move can help those kids burn that excess energy and then help them focus. Okay. Number three, modeling. Most kids don't actually learn simply by, you know, just being told what to do. They actually see what the teacher is doing. And when I was in the classroom, the technique that I used is I do, you do, we do. Or I do, we do, and then you do. Just depending on how complicated the subject is. Most of the time it was I do, we do, you do. So first I'll do it, then we'll do it together. and then you're doing it on your own, okay? And it's funny because that's exactly what they wrote down on this article, that the teachers will show how to do something, then they will invite the kids to do it, and then the kids will try it on their own. And this helps with all learning and attention issues. It doesn't matter what kind of issue it is, all across the board, it will help. Because when you use that method correctly, the I do, we do, you do method, then, you know, that's really beneficial for all of them, because a teacher can provide support during each phase. But, you know, as a teacher, you need to know which phase to support them in. Because if you're just going to be doing everything and just modeling everything for the child, and then you just instantly tell them, hey, now you do it. Well, how do you know what they're, you know, having difficulty with if you're not going to let them just step out and do what they need to do? Number four, graphic organizers. These are great visual tools. This is great for any visual learner. I am a big visual learner. If you tell me to sit there and read like 60 pages in a book, I couldn't do it. But if you give me some visuals, it'll help me out. And there are actually really different kinds of graphic organizers, such as like Venn diagrams, flow charts, and they're all very helpful, especially children who have issues in math. Children who can't write properly, maybe, you know, graphic organizers can help kids plan their ideas in writing. Executive functioning issues. So basically, kids with weak executive skills can use these tools to organize information and plan their work. Graphic organizers can help kids condense their thoughts into short statements. And this is very useful for kids who struggle to find the most important idea when they're taking notes. Because, you know, they have so many thoughts running through their mind, they don't know which one is the best one. Number five, one-on-one and small group instruction. And I love this. I love this because this is effective. Because, you know, when you have a whole group of people, a whole group of children, everyone's on different levels. Everyone's on different stages. And so it's very, very difficult for a child who may need that extra help to learn and to have an effective education, because maybe their partner next to them is a lot more advanced than they are, and so maybe they feel a little embarrassed. So some kids are placed in small groups because of their IEPs or interventions, but that's not always the case. Teachers, a lot of the times, teachers do small group instruction. It's easier on the teacher and it's easier on the kids. Excuse me. And so they can tailor to every child's needs. If your child is dyslexic, they frequently meet in small group settings for reading, especially. The general classroom, the teachers often work with a small group of kids at the same reading level or to focus on a specific skill. Let's say your child has ADHD, executive functioning issues. Again, it's just a smaller setting, so fewer distractions, so they can focus better. Or what if your child just processes things slowly? It's okay. One-on-one instruction is absolutely perfect for them. Or small group instruction is absolutely perfect for them, because they're able to just take the time that they need to really understand the information. And the last one is Universal Design for Learning, or UDL strategies. So UDL is basically a type of teaching that gives all students flexible ways to learn and succeed. They get to learn and succeed their own way. It allows kids to access materials, engage with them, and show what they know in different ways. And there are many examples of how these strategies help kids with learning and attention issues. For ADHD kids, UDL allows students to work in flexible learning environments. So if they struggle with inattention and distractibility, then a teacher might allow a student to work in a quiet space, just away from all of the distractions. Or they could just wear headphones, you know? If your child is dyslexic, when a teacher follows the UDL principles, they present information in many different ways. So instead of telling the student they must read a book, they could invite them to listen to an audiobook. So this removes that barrier, you know, for the child who's struggling to read. But still, again, they're getting that information, but in a different source. So, you know, basically, here's the keynotes to this entire podcast. Some teaching strategies, you know, may be a part of the child's IEP. And I have talked about IEPs in a previous podcast, but basically whatever is set on that IEP that, you know, it's for that child. That IEP, individualized education plan, it is for that child specifically. So if that child needs to listen to audiobooks, or if that child needs to be in a small group setting, whatever is written on that IEP, it has to be followed to the T. The strategies provide students with appropriate support as they learn. And, you know, they always say, talk with your child's teachers about the strategies they use and how they're helping your child. So that way you can implement the same effective strategies at home. That way there's some consistency. And again, with me personally, when I would teach students, regardless of what their learning ability, disability, or, you know, attention issues or no attention issues, whatever it is, for every child, I would give them sand, a box, and let them play with that sand. They can make letters on that sand. They can make words in that sand. They can make something, whatever, drawings in that sand, whatever their creativity is, anything that allows a child to release their creativity is a good thing. And again, they're using their senses, manipulatives, things like their senses. It's just different. It's not just book reading. It's not just, you know, drilling them. You are giving them the same source of information, but through a different outlet. So that is my podcast for today, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If there's anything you guys want me to talk about in the next podcast, feel free to leave me a message. But until then, I will talk to you later. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.